After sermon, we will sing Psalter number 83. Let us read again our sermon text today, Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. People write songs for various occasions, and by singing that song, we are celebrating specific occasions such as marriages or birthdays and or any other days when you are so much thankful for what took place. And so singing is almost inescapable in those occasions. But what about in the times of afflictions? Are we ready to sing in those days when what we face is really looking very grim and long and gloomy? But even in those occasions when we sing for birthdays and weddings, we know that those joys could be easily faced with incoming difficulties. Once one is born and this person is introduced to very dark world, and life is often realistically filled with difficulties, more so than the other way. And in the marriage too, as soon as the wedding is finished, there are still lots of work to be done. And when the wedding and the marriage doesn't go very well, then people are really burdened by difficulties in it. And the Bible has various songs. It has songs for joy, obviously, but it also has songs like Psalm 34 for difficult times. And when the language of this psalm is very heavy, the Bible is honest about both the joys and the difficulties of life. Psalm 34 is such a song unto God in which where there is much joy, but there is also the honest perspective on afflictions in life. It is from this inspired song that we wish to learn as we look to our text, Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Our theme this evening is the hope of the righteous in affliction, a reason for singing. With the Lord's help, we will consider 3 points under this theme. First, the person who has this hope. Second, the testing of this hope. And third, the realization of this hope. This beautiful psalm can be divided into 2 parts. The first 10 verses are praises to God, starting with a call of worship in verse 1. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. The rest of Psalm, beginning in verse 11, is more like a sermon. He says here, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So this psalm itself is a complete guide for worshiping God. One part is praising God with introducing what God has done in his life. And then second part contains a lesson to learn. What is also striking in this psalm is that it's an acrostic lyric. That is, each line of this psalm begins with a Hebrew alphabet. It's like A to Z for the complete worship guide. The title of this psalm gives us some explanation as to the occasion of this psalm. Psalm 34 refers to the narrative of 1 Samuel 21, 10 to 15. At the time, what happened was that David was chased after by King Saul, and he had to really think hard to escape from Saul's chasing. And at the end of his hard reasoning, he thought if he were in the area of Philistines, he could be safer because obviously Philistines is not friendly with the Israelites. And if he were hiding in that country, probably he thought he could be better off with the king's anger. But in this place, David was not really finding his refuge. And as soon as he was entering in the land of the Philistines, people began to recognize who he was. Obviously, he was the champion against the Goliath, the Philistines. And David was in a very perilous situation in the Philistines before the king Abimelech, who was also called Achish, and he had to run away from that situation again by acting mad and by foaming at the mouth and scratching the wall as if he were not a sane person. And David was almost captured in this place again. But as our psalm makes clear in verse 6, David had cried unto the Lord, and the Lord had delivered him. And from that experience, David learned one thing. That is, the afflictions also fall upon the righteous. And our next question is then, who is the righteous? Is David righteous here? Some of you would heartily agree that David was so. Yes, to some degree, David was pursued constantly by Saul without specific cause. And Saul was trying to kill him. However, David also committed serious crimes in his life later. Is he still righteous in that perfect standard of the Lord? We cannot say with perfect standard of the Lord that David is truly righteous. But then, who is righteous? This hopeful praise can only be rendered by the righteous. Very many times throughout the book of Psalms, the name righteous is repeatedly shown. And Psalm 1:6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." We also know from Psalm 5:12, "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him with as with a shield." And the contrast between the righteous and unrighteous is shown again and again throughout many psalms. And before we assuming that we are righteous, we need to find out who is really righteous before God. It is not an exception in this psalm too. In verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Verse 21, "And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate." It is true that David was suffering without any specific cause here, yet that is not what David meant here. This idea of being righteous before God does not have to do with what we do or what we have done. If that was the case, nobody would be righteous before God. This is the legal idea of being considered by God as righteous. In Psalm 32, two Psalms before 34, David writes, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Only by faith in Jesus Christ one is considered righteous before God. Dear congregation, I urge you this evening to examine your own state before God. I urge you whether you have this faith by which you receive the righteousness from all-knowing and all-seeing God. God is a holy God and a just God, and no one is righteous on themselves before Him. Bible says, "There is none righteous." No, not one. Romans 3:10. The comfort of this psalm is only for the righteous before God. But if you're not a believer today, and no matter how much you may suffer in this sinful world, there is no hope for you if you choose to remain in the same place, the place of unbelief. Have you tried to keep God's law so that you may become righteous? What happened? The Bible says, "Cursed is everyone who continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." There is no real hope except by believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Therefore, there is every reason for you to ask for the Holy Spirit today so that you may receive this faith from God. By grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. Seek God today, even in your hardest trials. Come and believe in Jesus Christ, whose person and whose work is the sole foundation for any righteousness before God. May his obedience to God in all the law and even to the point of death on the cross become precious to you, because without this, you will never find a way to become righteous before God, even David. If you, by grace, believe in Christ, then you are justified, and God views you as righteous. However, as we will see, that doesn't mean that the righteous don't have any afflictions. The sufferings and tribulations do come, as it was with David, and God may test the hope of the righteous for his own reasons and his own purposes, as we wish to see in our second point, the testing of this hope. Dear congregation, our text tells us that the afflictions of the righteous ones are many. Literally in Hebrew, it says, many the evils to the righteous. It starts with the word many, as if to emphasize it. The first word, many. Not just a few, but many upon many. This was personally true for David, who wrote this psalm after a time when his afflictions had piled up one after another. Wherever David went, he could not rest. He was surrounded by the enemies everywhere. David was in great fear. His move to Gath was making the situation worse against him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Why so many? And there are a couple of reasons why we believers should face the reality of such extensive sufferings. First, we are born as sinners. So we are all subject to the afflictions due to our own sins. Or, if it was not due to our own sins, it was due to the sins of other people around us. We feel that, the pain of seeing the sin in ourselves, and the pain of experiencing the consequences of sin by other people. And in this country alone, many times we hear on the newspaper that so many people lose their lives in a most unexpected area, like while they are shopping, or they go for movie scene, and these crimes are committed. And that's the consequence of the sins of others. The scripture doesn't hide that reality. It says, we are born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, which happens all the time. Job 5:7. Second, the Holy Spirit uses afflictions to awake sinners. One pastor said that when other milder measures fail, God many times resorts to his painful procedure, the iron furnace, to awaken the sinful to see that earth's day is not eternal, and to remind them of their accountability to God. God may cause conversions out of these afflictions that people must go through. A third reason may be that afflictions are given for a yet unknown purpose. There have been great saints like Job or Joseph who had to suffer without a due reason. Job's three friends wrongly accused Job of his possible sins. It is not always right to match sins with sufferings because we may not know all of God's plan. Likewise, Joseph suffered greatly by the hands of his brothers, but God turned it into good, ultimately for the salvation of the whole people, Israelites. Imagine what could happen without Joseph in those days. And by his suffering, the Lord did save so many people. Finally, the Holy Spirit may use afflictions to sanctify His children further through the means of afflictions. In God's hands, afflictions can be a means to further sanctify His dear sons and daughters. One person wrote, "There are some depths and heights which can only be reached by severe sufferings, and nothing but personal experience can give the soul this attainment." The psalmist also says in Psalm 119 that before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Afflictions could always help us to know God's word better. Another person writes, "God often washes the eyes of His children with tears so that they may see His commandments better and read His precepts aright." Dear congregation, let me ask you this question. What have trials done in your life? What have trials done in your life? Trials test our hope, sometimes very severely. Do trials drive you back to the Lord to cry to Him? If that happens, that's good for us to have been under the affliction. That's exactly what happened in the case of David's life. As you can see in verse 6, he, as a poor man, cried unto the Lord as if he were a beggar for his bodily and spiritual needs. David amazingly moved out of that state of fear and deficiency. He did not stay with his fear, but by God's help, he could move from that tunnel, that seizure, and he could cry out unto the Lord until he can fully move out of that tunnel. He became humiliated, but he sought God under afflictions. This is also by God's grace. And he was poor, but he knew that the Lord is rich. The Lord is covenant-keeping God. He doesn't have that power to overcome or to reach that higher rock, as we heard last week. But the Lord gave him what he was standing in need of. How could David look to God in that situation? He could look to Him because one day there would be a son of David, Jesus, the Savior, who would be every way afflicted. Much evil would come upon this sinless man. He was righteous in the most perfect standard, in such a way that David never was righteous. Jesus was righteous in thought and word and deed as the God-man who had come into our sin-stained world to save sinners. On his holy head and soul fell many afflictions, and not for himself, but for people like David and people like you and me. And by nature, we are unrighteous. But Jesus Christ came to give us this substance and hope for sinners. Have you realized that your sin nailed the Savior to the cross? He was willing to take the place of David. Because of him, there can be hope for people like you and me. And we'd like to look at the realization of this hope in our final point. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord. Look at the conjunction there, but. If we are left with only the first part of the sentence, then life would be hopeless. No matter how much we work hard, there is no hope. No matter how much we suffer under most unjust system, there is still no hope. It would be all dark and grief and tears. But thankfully, the verse 19 does not end there, but it starts the second part, but the Lord. This psalm can be still full of hope and convictions for God's help. He even commends at the children, saying, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." That's why Apostle Peter was quoting this psalm in his book, 1 Peter chapter 3. And Peter was addressing those Christians who were doing good, and those Christians were living for God's glory as Christians, but they were persecuted. And oftentimes, there was no specific reason other than they were Christians. And Peter could encourage his fellow brothers and sisters in those days by writing 1 Peter. And brothers and sisters could know that there is hope for them, even in the midst of persecutions. What David experienced is not just for himself, but for all in all times and places who seek deliverance with the Lord. We can say the following four things about this deliverance. First, the Lord saves the righteous because of his covenant. Verse 19, but the Lord, that is written in capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, the covenant-keeping God. Jehovah, who is true to his name, regardless of our conditions, he is faithful to his covenant. How true it is that whosoever calleth upon his name shall be saved? Do you know this God as your personal God in Jesus Christ? He's the creator of heaven and earth, but he's also a personal God. He knows your names. I may not know your name. He knows. He knows your desires. He knows your situations and circumstances. Why then would you not go to him in your troubles? He hears your cries and he knows your situations. His eyes and his ears are everywhere. Second, the Lord saves for the sake of Christ. This deliverance cannot reach you or me without the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why verse 20, the next verse of our psalm, speaks so directly of Christ. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. John 19, verse 33, quotes this to show how exactly this was fulfilled in Christ. Do you know how many bones are there in the body? An adult would have more than 200 bones. The most minute detail was realized in Jesus Christ. People mockingly said to Jesus on the cross, "Save thyself and come down from the cross." But God the Father spared all the bones of his Son. Jesus satisfied God's justice for sinners through his suffering, cross, and his own death. Jesus obeyed God perfectly to the point of death. Even Jesus Christ has confirmed this satisfaction and obedience through his resurrection. He is at the right hand of God the Father now, without any of his bones broken. And because of that, there can be deliverance. All sinners under any afflictions are called everywhere. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Do you hear the call to you this day? Are you afflicted? The psalmist says, "None of them that trust in him shall be desolate." And this refers to the greater one than David, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered greatly on the cross. You may feel crushed and feel being shattered under the current afflictions, but God can save you through Jesus Christ. The messianic prophecy about his bone and his resurrection proves God's saving power. Thirdly, the Lord saves sinners not only in their afflictions, but out of their afflictions. We may rejoice in the Lord today, knowing that one day this liberation from the power of Satan and from all the consequences of sins would be complete. Are you experiencing the pains of sins through your afflictions now? Do not stay in that miserable condition, but seek God who can save you both now and forever out of all such miseries. Finally, the Lord delivers totally. Notice this word, all. Out of all their afflictions, he delivers not just some, but all. Not just the big ones, not just the little ones, but all. Your afflictions may not be the same as mine, but from all our relational problems, all our financial problems, all our health problems or anything that can make us distressed repeatedly on our soul and body, past, present, future, God can save us. Isn't this the great hope of the righteous? The person who has this hope and the testing of this hope, and finally, the realization of this hope. And in this one verse, that expectation is very much supported in its detail and its scope. And the one who does this is the Lord, the one who grants salvation freely. And we are called to receive this by faith. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, the same forever. When you look at your own situation, that unique affliction that you have been under in the past or right now, it's an opportunity given by God so that you may see His saving hands in a way that you didn't expect. And we do not need to wait until we go through all the trials of this life to say that the Lord will save us from it. It's given as a promise, and this word is the very hope for any children of God who truly understand how one becomes righteous before God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. This is the hope of the believer. God's word made it abundantly clear. God does not lie. He will deliver us out of them all, now and especially at the end of our lives, when we leave this life and trials and evil can never again reach the child of God. But what about those who do not have this hope, who doesn't know whether he is righteous before God or not? And there is one man whose name is Hutchinson, and he enjoyed his life with very much material blessings. He had more than his heart wished, and he still had a lot left that he didn't use during his lifetime, and he's about to leave this world. And what he said is revealing. He said, "I'm afraid that the party of this world continues to go on even after I leave this world." There is hope, not from this world, but from the world to come. And that's the Christian hope. The hope helps us to endure the afflictions. And no matter what it may be, we are given this promise that at the end of the day, the Lord will deliver His children from this sinful body and sinful world as well. My dear friends, if you are here not sure about your state before God, I ask you, how do you cope with all the loads of trials in this life? There are too many to mention in reality. Do not despair by looking at them, but believe in God. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Are you crying today? Cry to the Lord. He has promised to hear and to deliver those who do so. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Finally, there is a great difference between the true Christians and those who are not. It is clearly not true that the Christians would not have afflictions, but rather the other way is much more likely. God uses afflictions to renew Christ in our hearts. The Christians would cry out to God with faith. His heart may have been broken. His spirit may have been severely crushed through afflictions. But he may get still closer to God through afflictions. On the other hand, the non-Christians would not fear God and would not seek God, even with all those afflictions. Verse 21 says, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Flee today to Jesus Christ, the complete deliverer from all, the true righteous one. David is singing this psalm of praise. Are you also singing hopeful praises unto God even during your sufferings? You need not lose your heart in Christ. I'd like to close this sermon with a song of Robert Murray McChain, Jehovah Sekunu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Sekunu, my treasure and boast. Jehovah Sekunu, I never can be lost. In thee shall I conquer by blood and by field, my cable, my anchor, my breastplate and shield. Even treading the valley, the shadow of death, this watchword shall rally my faltering breath. For while from life's fever my God sets me free, Jehovah Sekunu, my death song shall be. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen.